for that song service. And it works. I'd like to thank all of you for coming here tonight to this Church of Christ that we have here. And I'd like to welcome all of you visitors today or tonight, this evening, this rainy evening. And I'd like to present a lesson this evening that I presented a few years ago at our old congregation in California. And this was a thought, a topic that had rolled around in my mind since really 2001. So in 2001, my mother was diagnosed with terminal lung cancer. And it was about 3 months after we first got the diagnosis that she indeed went home. Ellen and I were very fortunate at the time to live only about 90 miles away from my parents. So we were able to spend a lot of time, but we spent a lot of time with my parents anyway. And I've seen through the years how losing a loved one can affect and even shake some of the faith of people that I considered very faithful Christians. It is undoubtedly a very significant event in anyone's life. So it's a difficult burden, even at the best of times. It's a difficult thing to go through. And, you know, only those who die very young will not experience this. Most of us certainly will experience this throughout our lives. And most of us will also leave behind loved ones when we go. But I wanted to focus on the tools that we have as Christians to help us through this difficult time that is unique to us as Christians that others who don't believe don't have, can't have without belief. But Jesus certainly knows our grief. As a good example, he wept when he saw those weeping over the loss of a loved one with Lazarus. In John chapter 11, verse 33, it says, "Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, 'Where have you laid him?' And they said to him, 'Lord, come and see.'" And in verse 35, it simply says, Jesus wept. He knew and understood the pain that we were going through, the sorrow that we feel, mourning, when we lose a loved one, even if it is a loved one who was a believer, even though we know as Christians what's coming. It's difficult. We're going to miss that loved one, and he understood that. So what did he do? Even though he knew that he was going to raise Lazarus, what did he do? He wept. He wept with us. He also sought to prepare his disciples for when they would lose him. So because he loved us all and he loved his disciples and he knew that they would feel a loss when they saw him die, when they lost him, even though they didn't quite understand at the time, he sought to comfort them. And that's what we read in John chapter 14. "Let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Verse 2 says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So what he's telling them is, if you believe in me, you'll be with me again. That this loss is just temporary. So as I said, we have many sources of comfort as Christians. We get comfort here on earth, as we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. And this is Paul. Paul is writing to the Corinthians in the second letter. And he begins, three verses down, the beginning of his letter, he begins by saying, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ." Comfort. We get comfort from God. Not just when we lose a loved one in all of our tribulations, but especially when we lose a loved one. We have comfort knowing what's coming in heaven. In Revelation 21:4, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." I'm going to go through things that we've probably read, and if we're studying our scripture, we've probably read them 100 times, but sometimes, and especially in preparing this lesson again, I feel I understand these scriptures even better now. And I'm 43 years old. I lost my mother when I was 28. I still miss her every day today. So in these sources of comfort, we have hope in Christ. We grieve, but when we grieve, we don't grieve like those who have no hope. We read this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." We, as Christians, have hope. And we can take and should take comfort in that. We have the hope of the resurrection and the reunion that we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 14 through 17. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." We'll be caught up together. We have the memories of our loved ones, and that should comfort us. We read that in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." We can remember when they involve one's faithful service to Christ. My mother was a very faithful woman and made sure that God was always talked about in our home, that every lesson was a lesson about God. in Philippians chapter 1, verse 4 through 6. Always in every prayer of mine, making request for you, all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Family, brethren, and friends, this is a great comfort to us. A great comfort to us. In 2 Corinthians, again in verse 4, chapter 1, verse 4, who comforts us all in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Prayer. We have prayer as Christians. We can speak to God. We have a relationship with God. And prayer is a great source of peace and strength. We read that in the second chapter, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Prayer is absolutely an avenue to find grace and help in time of need, not just when we lose a loved one, but in any time of need. And in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, we know that we had a Christ that was here who experienced things as we do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Songs. I know that I grew up in the Church of Christ, so I've been to several funerals, Church of Christ funerals, and I know that singing is a big part, and singing brings joy. We can sing songs and find comfort and peace and even joy at a funeral celebrating a loved one going home. And we read that in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We've just outlined many tools that we have to find comfort as Christians. But not all are faithful. Our wonderful hope is for those who are faithful in Christ till death. In Revelations chapter 2, verses 10, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. To my knowledge, my mother was never thrown into prison, but she certainly had tribulations. The last 3 months of her life and actually the last few years of her life. She was not well, but certainly graceful through it all. If we desire to have this hope and to leave the legacy for those we left behind, as my mother did for me, we must be faithful servants in Christ. So there are questions that we have to ask ourselves. And do not wait until it's too late. You will only add to the grief of your loved ones. The love of family, brethren, and friends. Now, this love doesn't just come instantly. We have to work at it. The congregation has to work at it. And these relationships take time to develop. But don't think just of your family. You might outlive all of your family. We have to remember our spiritual family here, our brethren and our friends. So again, some difficult questions to ask. What kind of relationships with people are we developing now as Christians? The Word of God brings us comfort. But it takes time and study and work to become familiar with the Word of God. We have to study the Bible and rely on helping others to study as well, to learn where to turn to find comfort, peace, and strength. So another difficult question. Are you familiarizing yourself with the Bible so it can help you in your grief? Prayer. Prayer is only valuable if we have the right relationship with God. Remember, if we're sinful, our prayers are hindered. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Prayer is comforting, but we have to be close to God. Are we drawing closer to God by frequently talking to him in prayer? Songs. Songs absolutely can bring comfort. We sang a lot in my home, a lot of hymns in my home as a child. And for sure, as my mom was declining, we sang songs. As we continue to come to services, as we set our relationships with our brethren, worship services, in Bible studies, we have time to reflect and to understand what we're singing about through repetition, through study. Do we sing spiritual songs enough to find comfort in them now? There are few hymns that I habitually sing in the dentist chair that for sure bring comfort. So it doesn't just have to be in these deep times of tribulation. We can sing these hymns in traffic. We can sing these hymns in the dentist chair for sure. And they will bring comfort. The death of a loved one has been made easier to bear because of God's grace. Jesus died to deliver us from the fear of death. We read this in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 15, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shares in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." This is one that's difficult. This is difficult for us to understand, to grasp as human beings. It's difficult, but it shouldn't be for Christians. The death of a righteous person is precious in God's sight. In Psalms 116, verse 15, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." This for sure is a difficult one for non-Christians to understand, but the loved one has finally gone home. And if we remain faithful, the separation will be temporary. And this isn't something that we make up to make ourselves feel better. This isn't something that I tell myself because I lost my mother way too early. This is something that we read in the Bible that is God's word, it is his promise, it is the truth. This is something we know as Christians. The blessings that God affords his children in time of death are indeed so many. But the blessings have to be received and acted upon. We must act to benefit from them in the future. So these are tools that we have as Christians to help us through tribulation, not just the death of a loved one, but through any time of sorrow, through any time of need. But it also means that we have to work at our relationship with God. We have to work at our study of the Scripture. We have to come to services to be part of a congregation, be edified, to praise God. With that, he will give us comfort. He will comfort us. We have that as Christians. And with the spiritual family, with this congregation, we've hopefully all felt that kind of outpouring of love. My father now is going through some difficult health issues. And at the mere mention of the need of prayers, there was an outpouring of love from this congregation. Ellen and I had a question about our son. There's been an outpouring of love from this congregation. That is comfort. That is comfort not just in the loss of a loved one, that is comfort any time. So, are we preparing now for the reality of death? We all know it's coming. Are we doing things today to make that death day of your loved one and your own easier to bear and even a cause of celebration? Are we doing enough now? Is there more that we could be doing? That's really up to you to answer. If there's anything that we can do here today to help, if you are not following what God wants you to do, if your heart is not right with God, if you are in need of simple counseling or prayer or Bible study or baptism, if there's anything we can do to help you, please come forward as we stand and sing.